It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown.
No.
He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes. Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelz.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Send in your questions. We'll answer them right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Market. It comes your way every Monday through Friday, 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Also, on the Giants mobile app. Go to iTunes, your Play Store, or your BlackBerry App World. Download the Giants app. All the videos, written articles, all that great stuff on Giants.com, you can get it on the Giants mobile app. It really is fantastic. Did a great job with that. Make sure you download it there. Now we're going to welcome in an old friend. He hasn't joined us in quite a while. We're going to find out what he's been up to. We can make fun of him a little bit, too. And that's Lance Meadow. Lance, good morning, pal.
How we doing, John? You know, before we get into the whole Giants discussion, I'm actually pretty excited. Did I hear correctly? Is there now a sponsor for this show?
That is correct, but they said we're only going to sponsor it in the offseason when Lance isn't a co-host. That was one of their,
Okay, I see. All right. So there were certain conditions part of the deal then, essentially.
Yeah. They said we basically don't want to be associated with Lance Meadow, so as long as he's not doing the show, we'll have our name on it. That's pretty much how it went.
I think that's the right game plan for that company. You know, once I get associated with something, it usually goes downhill from there.
Well, and quite frankly, Andrew Mark only makes adult size suits, nothing in children's sizes, so they figured that it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm sorry, that was too easy.
Oh, I see. So the low blow started early. Wow, you didn't waste any time getting right into it today.
No, I did not, Lance, but let's get into the New York Giants here. We've gone through OTAs and mini camps and all that stuff. From what you've seen, what you've read, what are some of your impressions of some of the Giants youngsters that were in camp, especially David Wilson and Reuben Randle?
Well, listen, Reuben Randle, I think, has made a pretty strong impression on this team in the few weeks that he's been out there and working with the squad. What's most exciting, I think, about Reuben Randle is not necessarily the impact that he can make in the receiving core, which I think he will, but probably what he can contribute to special teams. There's a lot of jobs up for grabs still, specifically in the punt and the kickoff return, and there's no guarantee that Dominic Hixon is going to reclaim the job or if the team is comfortable enough throwing him back out there. So, you know, a guy like Randle can certainly make a name for himself in special teams. He's NFL built. He's a big guy. He's strong, and he's played for a top college program. So I think that throughout the next couple of weeks in training camp, as he continues to develop, you could probably see him make maybe a big impact in the special teams game. As far as David Wilson is concerned, you know, I think Gerald Ingram talked about this when he addressed some of the reporters over the last few weeks. The big thing with him is, can he basically digest the playbook, number one, and number two, is he going to be strong in the pass protection game? You know, everybody was really excited when they drafted Darrell Scott last year, and the same thing is true for David Wilson. They've got speed, they've got versatility, they have the ability to make big plays. But if these guys can't get out there and protect Eli Manning and be another offensive lineman, it's going to take time till we really can truly see the impact they'll make on the football field.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to David Wilson. You'll see that interview up on Giants.com over the next few weeks. And I asked him, what's the one thing that you're working on to prove to the Giants you deserve to be on the field? And his answer was the passing game, and that I need to have Eli Manning be able to trust me, not only running routes and doing those things properly, but also to protect him. Because you have to have the faith and confidence of the franchise quarterback if you're going to be on the field in third down situations, which really, to me, Lance, is where whoever the 1A back to Ahmad Bradshaw is going to be get a lot of their time in passing situations in third downs.
And last year, that pretty much was the job of DJ Ware, and certainly he's still in the mix. I mean, you do have Andre Brown as well. He's trying to get fully healthy. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of competition in training camp, but I think what will pretty much distinguish one running back from another is who can do the most and who can really become acclimated with the system. Ware and Bradshaw clearly have the upper hand because they've spent a couple of years in the system and they have defined roles, whereas Scott didn't get on the field as much, but he did have an entire year of getting involved in practice. And Wilson is now, you know, certainly slowly learning the system. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the competition plays out. But, you know, where I don't know if he necessarily has locked down that second-tier running back job. I mean, they may be willing to give either Scott or Wilson, the rookie, an opportunity if they can see that they can trust them in various different situations.
Hey, look, Wilson's a first-round pick. You got to imagine the Giants are going to give him every opportunity to make a serious impact this season. And it's funny, he has a better opportunity than Darrell Scott did last year. First of all, first-round pick, seventh-round pick, obviously big difference. Number two, last year, Lance, there were no minicamps, no OTAs. These rookies were just thrown into it in August, forced to figure things out on the fly. David Wilson's probably already ahead of where Darrell Scott was at the end of last year, considering how much work they've done so far in minicamp, in OTAs, and really learning the system from scratch.
Oh, that's a great point, John, because like you said, you know, the lockout certainly impacted the development, not just for a guy like Darrell Scott, but how about Prince Amukamara? I mean, when he came back, I'm not saying that you could definitely contribute the injury to the lack of practice time, but I think that certainly is a factor that you need to take into consideration. Maybe another reason why a guy like Hosley could have an upper hand becoming more acclimated with the system than Amukamara was coming into last season. So, you know, Wilson having rookie mini camps, having the ability to talk to the coaches, get in the classroom, watch film, you know, that is certainly going to help him develop throughout the next couple of weeks, and he'll be more prepared when he comes up to training camp, because last year, I mean, it was a whole different ballgame. Everybody was thrown into the fire, and really they were learning in terms of baptism by fire. Once you got into the preseason games, that was their only opportunities to really grasp the offense, whereas this year they have a couple of months to get used to things.
It's almost like the Giants have two rookie classes this year, considering Prince's injury, Marvin Austin's injury, Drell Jernigan's inability to adjust to the NFL offense after coming from the spread in college, which, again, no offseason, you can't really blame the kid. So the Giants are really working, Lance, two rookie classes in the same year here.
Yeah, and Marvin Austin is probably the most exciting guy of that group that you just touched on, John, because remember, Austin was probably one of the top defensive prospects coming out of his junior year. Remember, he sat out his senior year in North Carolina because of some off-the-field issues, and the NCAA suspended him, and then combined that with the injury last year. I mean, they're almost getting a top-notch prospect in this rookie class if he can stay healthy. And I know that Curry Fuel has really been impressed with his speed, his versatility. He doesn't know exactly how he can use him. Everything that he's mentioned to reporters was that I really need to dig deep into my bag of tricks and get creative in terms of how he'll utilize him as a defensive tackle compared to guys like Rocky Bernard, Linville Joseph, and Chris Canty. So, you know, this could be an X factor this year. If they could get him on the field, if he could stay healthy, and obviously if he's in shape, which he's shown so far throughout minicamp, that to me is a really big bonus that could give the Giants another scary big body that they have plenty of them already on that defensive line.
Yeah, and you know, Marvin Austin's a big kid, but to me he's more in that, and I'm not saying at the same skill level, but in that more Warren Sapp type of body type mold where you can move around a little bit. You're not necessarily that anchor that's just going to stop the run like a Linville Joseph or things like that. He's more of a guy that can collapse the pocket against passing in passing situations and rush the pass or something really the other Giants tackles aren't really built for necessarily.
And listen, it never hurts to have enough depth. I mean, if you go back the last couple of seasons with the injury history of this team, and I'm not saying that things are going to continue that way this season, but you have to prepare for that. That's just the nature of football. So the Giants can never complain if they have an extra defensive tackle, an extra corner, an extra safety. I think it's going to pay off. And with the, you know, certainly a longer off season this year, it's going to give these guys opportunities to, number one, define their roles and get used to playing with one another. Because, you know, you can make the argument last year, you know, the team clearly got better as the season progressed. And a big reason and a big part of that was, you know, guys weren't on the practice field a lot. And, you know, when you get plenty of reps with one another throughout the course of the season, you know, that starts to show on the football field. That's why the Giants were a different team with OC on it and without him. And I think the same could be said when they've got some of the guys that are going to return. You're hoping fully healthy for training camp. You know, Kenny Phillips, Tyler Sash, Corey Webster, these guys have been battling injuries already now. So we may not truly see how this team comes to form until the first couple of days of training camp.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, there's no contact in minicamp, there's no contact in OTA, so those are all certainly things that, you know, these guys haven't experienced it on the NFL level, especially for the rookie class. And I'll go back to Ruben Randle for a second. You mentioned him possibly contributing in the special teams game. And Michael Eisen and I talked about this on, I believe it was the mailbag that's going to go up later on today, on how Randle isn't necessarily the body type of a punt returner or a kick returner, but he really is a guy that seems to have the speed to be able to contribute in that area. Because when you think about a punt returner, oh, and there goes Lance. Wow. He really didn't like my Ruben Randle point, did he? I was on yesterday's show. Melway, you can get Lance back up on the line here. But, yeah, Isaac and I talked about it yesterday, how Ruben Randle is not necessarily the body type of a typical punt returner, but he really seems to have the speed. And as Michael mentioned, a guy like Amani Toomer isn't necessarily a prototypical punt returner either. He did the job as a young guy for the Giants as well. Lance, welcome back. Are you hanging up on me now? What's up with
well,
that?
Well, you know, I mean, listen, you know, I was really caught off guard with that whole, you know, sponsor comment. You know, you really rubbed me the wrong way at the beginning, so I figured I needed to get your back some way. So, you know, the technology fell through, and that was maybe one of my forms of payback.
All right, very nice, very nice. So, like I was saying, Ruben Randle, not necessarily the body type of your typical punt returner, Lance, not that small, quick guy, but he certainly has the size and the speed, and he showed he could certainly catch him and do well in that regard in terms of punt returns. But if the Giants need him as their third wide receiver and he proves to be their third best wideout, do they risk using him on special teams if they can't, if, you know, potential injury or whatever that could maybe limit him in the offensive package?
Yeah, that's always a risk. Last year, I remember we had a lot of discussions here on this show about fans were torn between, do you want Aaron Ross returning punts, and then you're going to throw him out as a corner when all the cornerbacks got hurt last year. That was a big risk. You know, it certainly didn't necessarily backfire on them, but, you know, it's got to be something that they're going to have to weigh, and it will depend on how big of a role they're willing to give Ruben Randle on the offense. And you know what? If anything, I think it gives motivation to a guy like Ramses Barden, because, you know, this is really, to me, a do-or-die training camp for Ramses Barden. If he can make a name for himself and maybe he could try to claim that third role, perhaps they can then utilize Randle more specifically in special teams and have certain packages on offense. But if Barden doesn't really make a name for himself this training camp, it's going to make Randle's job a lot easier to maybe claim that role. And then the Giants may obviously want to go in a different direction to not have him as much on special teams. So I think that the other receivers, to me, how competitive they will be with Randle will determine perhaps how much of a role they want to carve out for Randle on special teams.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's a great point, no doubt about it. And someone else I'd like to see get an opportunity, you mentioned Barden, you mentioned Randle, and you're right, I think it is a do-or-die training camp for Ramses Barden. He sent the paper the other day, I'm not sure if you read the article, Lance, that, you know, he always gets good grades on how he practices and, you know, how he doesn't practice, but that has to translate to the game. And really for Ramses Barden, that means you got to stay healthy because he hasn't been able to stay on the field the last couple of years.
I mean, you hit it right on the head. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be on the field week to week, day to day, no matter what time frame you want to paint for him. I mean, that's the problem with Ramses Barden. He hasn't gotten enough time with Eli Manning on the football field. And then when he does get into game situations, you clearly see they weren't on the same page. I remember that Patriots game where, you know, there were opportunities for him to make some plays when they were in the red zone, and it just didn't look like, you know, Manning and Barden were in sync. And in order for that to improve and get better, you've got to be on the field during the week. And you've got to put in the hours, and you've got to be in sync. And that, unfortunately, could not play out and develop throughout the course of last season. Now in training camp, if he could stay fully healthy entering week one, assuming they carve out a spot for him on the team, there's an opportunity for him to then take what he does in the practice field, take those good grades, and now show it in actual game action.
It's funny. A lot of people are calling about Ramses Barden and obviously Ruben Randle, the hot rookie. But, you know, last year, Jarrell Jernigan was a third-round pick. In the same round, Ramses Barden was picked in, I guess, almost 4 years ago now. Geez, doesn't seem that way. But
A lot of people, I think, are sleeping on Jernigan, who certainly has the quickness and the speed and the athleticism to be a factor in that slot. Obviously not Wes Welker, but in that same sort of vein, the same body type, same speed, same quickness, that's where I think he could certainly be a factor for the Giants this year if he can figure out the offense and gain Eli Manning's trust.
Yeah, Jernigan is certainly a guy that, you know, the fans and even the team shouldn't overlook. You know, once again, as long as he stays healthy and he gets on the same page as Eli Manning, you know, he could certainly create a role for himself in that slot. And you know what? Who's to say that maybe they don't move Victor Cruz around a little bit more this season? I know they did due to injuries, and a lot will depend on how quickly Akeem Nicks will get healthy, and will he be back to full form at least late in training camp or in week one. So, you know, Jernigan's another name that, hey, with another year under his belt, to get acclimated with the offense, this could be perhaps a season that he starts to break out and he becomes more aggressive. You know, that's why I said, when you have a lot of young receivers, and they also brought in a couple of guys who were undrafted free agents, David Douglas out of Arizona, you know, Talley, who's a UMass guy, who's been compared to Victor Cruz because of the same school. And I'm not saying that these guys are all of a sudden going to make names for themselves like Victor Cruz did, but you know what, there's a lot of guys in the mix. They can get reps in training camp. They can build some competition. And competition is a good thing because it makes everybody else strive harder. And I think that that could really pay dividends for guys like Barden and Jernigan. I mean, these guys need to be pushed. I'm not saying that they're not motivated, but they need to understand that, you know, jobs are on the line here. And in order for them to make sure that they're a part of the 53-man roster, they're going to have to really step up in training camp. So, you know, this is an opportunity in the next couple of weeks when they're on their own, and then when they join together in Albany, for them to go out and prove that they're playmakers and that they have enough confidence in themselves and the coaching staff to really get out there during game action.
Lance whooping out Douglas, Talley, he's doing his homework, Meadow. Good work. And don't forget about De Palma either.
Absolutely. He's another guy, certainly.
All right, Lance, we haven't talked anything about the defense yet, so let's kind of switch sides of the ball here. And right now, I guess the Giants' starting linebacking core heading into 2012 is Chase at middle linebacker, Kiwanuka on the strong side, and Michael Boley on the weak side. Is that who you think is going to leave training camp as the Giants' three starting linebackers?
Those, to me, I think are the best options right now. You know, once again, they have much more depth in that position than they did coming into last year, which is a good thing. Perryfield came out and said it's basically Chase Blackburn's job to lose at this point. You know, he's probably the most experienced middle linebacker. I know Michael Boley has versatility. They can move him around. But you know what? Blackburn impressed me. If you recall, you know, he comes back right before that Packers game. He all of a sudden gets an interception, which is a rare accomplishment when you're facing Aaron Rodgers. And he knows the playbook like the back of his hand. And Perryfield even said, the one comment that stood out to me was, he's pretty much the best extension of Fuel on the practice field and on the football field. And that's a pretty high compliment for a coach to throw out to a player. So, you know, Blackburn, I think, has really impressed the coaching staff in what he was able to do down the stretch. And the key is, can he continue that level?
Oh, looks like we might. Wait, he might still be there. Lance? And there he goes. I think Lance needs to get a new phone. I think he's still working on a flip phone, isn't he? I think we need to maybe tell you, you know, maybe like upgrade him to a smartphone. You know, you're behind the times when Paul DeTino has a better phone than you. Never a good sign. By the way, hope you Giant fans were looking at DeTino's tweets yesterday at about 11 o'clock in the morning. In fact, I want to wait to get Lance back on here before we talk about that. There he is calling in right there. As Lance needs to improve his technology. We're very disappointed in Mr. Meadow right here. Lance, do we have to upgrade your phone here? I mean, it's like Paul DeTino has a better phone than you now. What's going on here?
I know, this is embarrassing. Well, I did switch phones, so I'm hoping things get better. But clearly, I'm not a fan of this show, or the show is not a fan of me. So.
Well, I guarantee you the host isn't a fan of you, so that worries.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. I don't need to remind the fans of that. I mean, you know. You could tell me that in person a little bit later this season. You could tell me on the phone. I know things are not drastically going to change.
No, they are not. That's true. Now, I want to go totally off topic for like the last 4 minutes of the show or so here. I want to have a little fun with you. One, were you looking at Paul DeTino's tweets yesterday around like 11 a.m.?
You know, it's funny you brought that up. I was, and actually I think he's been tweeting this morning. Number one, I don't know how he actually has the ability to go through a power walk in this weather. That's the first thing to me that is mind-boggling. And number two, I can't believe how many tweets he actually responded to yesterday. He's been relatively quiet throughout social media over the last couple of weeks. So he's really started to step up his game, and I think this is the way that he'll be able to survive the next couple of weeks without any mini camps or anything going on at the Timex Center for him to obviously keep himself occupied.
Well, Lance, I think you might have just found a new career. You've done play-by-play of rock, scissors, papers, women's lacrosse, field hockey. Now you're doing play-by-play of somebody's Twitter feed. Very impressive.
Listen, I need to continue to add more to my resume. Just like, you know, you got to continue to get better in all works of life. That's what I look to do. I never turn down an opportunity. If I can entertain through Paul Dottino's, you know, tweeters, whatever you want to call it.
Tweeters.
I'm losing my vocabulary when it comes to social media. I'm not going to turn down that opportunity.
All right. I couldn't believe he was threatening Giant fans on his Twitter feed yesterday, saying, if you're not out there walking in the 100-degree weather, you can't go and watch practice at training camp. Apparently, Paul Dottino has some kind of stock in some type of, like, heat stroke company, because that's really what he's, like, you know, basically encouraging by telling people to go out there in 95-degree weather and run around.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm surprised Paul Dottino's not running his own training camp with fans right now. He should pretty much be soliciting fans to come train with him on those power walks so he can have an entourage when he goes up to Albany next month and people could just follow him around and see what it's like to be in the shoes of Paul Dottino, because I think some people would find it absolutely fascinating to see what he does every single day.
Fascinating is one word for it. There are other words that I could use, but I'll stick with fascinating. We actually have a caller, Lance. We'll get to him in a second. But real quick, the NFL announced that they're going to release and give fans the opportunity to buy a package which will allow them to watch coaches' tape of games this season. And I know a lot of media people, a lot of fans are very excited. This special Giants package, too. I'll go to Giants.com. The information is right there. Check it out. And I know a lot of fans, I know Paul is especially excited. It really gives media members and fans a way to look at the game in a way they've never been able to look at the game before.
Well, first of all, I would say I'd much rather follow Paul Dottino and watch his film more so than any coaches or media. But that, you know, that's just my prerogative. Yeah. I'm actually surprised that Paul Dottino needs to lean on somebody else's film to get excited. But you're right. I mean, I think that this is another sign of the NFL trying to build fan interaction and, you know, expand on the use of technology, which I think it has done a nice job with over the last couple of years. And, you know, I think this will give a different perspective to the fans, to the players, to everybody associated with the league, because there's a lot of things that go on behind closed doors or things that happen on the sidelines that, you know, the average fan watching the game on television doesn't really have the benefit to see. So this can only, to me, help the game and help the fans better understand maybe even the logic behind various coaching decisions.
All right, Lance, let's go to our calls here. Joe's down in North Carolina. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
What's up? What's on your mind?
Two quick questions, both fairly related.
Sure.
Clint sent him. Haven't heard much about him recently. He's been with the team for, I guess, 3 or 4 years now.
Yep.
And, you know, he sustained that injury a while back, but I haven't heard much about his progress and where he fits in. The other one is Adrian Tracy. There was talk about him being moved from linebacker to defensive end. Just wanted to see if there's any verification to that.
Yeah, Adrian Tracy is basically a defensive lineman at this point, playing defensive end. He's really not a linebacker anymore. He's basically a pass-rushing 4-3 defensive end. As for Quinn Sintem, he's still rehabbing from that knee injury, quite honestly. He's not ready to play yet, unfortunately. He had another ACL last year. He's been practicing a little bit, doing some stuff on the side. But, I mean, I don't think people are expecting a whole lot from him, especially considering who else the Giants have at the linebacker position. But he'll have an opportunity in training camp. If he's ready and can do a lot, he'll have a chance to show the coaches that maybe finally, as a second-round draft pick, he can earn his way onto the football field. And Lance, I know people have been waiting for Clint Sim to do stuff for a long time, but injuries have just ravaged his NFL career.
Yeah, I mean, the best comparison is like the Ramsey's Barden situation. It's all about, you know, staying healthy and having an opportunity to go on the practice field and prove that to the coaching staff. And remember, you know, they brought in Rivers now, so there's now some added competition that he's going to have to fight his way through if he wants to try to carve out a role for himself. So, you know, that certainly adds some more pressure to the mix. But with him, it's all about health. And you could point to a lot of different Giants who have really not had opportunities over the last couple of seasons because of injuries, since it's plagued this team season in and season out. But, you know, as long as he could stay healthy and really put together a solid training camp, you know, that could really be the make or break for him.
All right, I want to touch one more thing on Lance before we say goodbye here. Lance is an avid NBA fan, much as I am. I just want to get your take. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about what you think about the finals. It's been tough to watch for me. The Thunder have had tons of opportunities here, and I'm sure you're rooting for them the same way 90% of America is, and they just can't seem to make the plays when they need to at the end of these games.
Yeah, it's all about execution down the stretch. And, you know, a lot of people pointed to experience as being a big X factor, and I think it's really paying off for the Miami Heat. You know, the Thunder, they're young, and I'm not saying that they don't have big-time playmakers, but some careless things are really haunting them late in game situations. You point to the James Harden foul, where he was very over-aggressive when the team was just down by three and they didn't need to foul
in game three. I don't think
that
was a foul.
You point to the bad inbounds pass on the next possession, and then Russell Westbrook just not being aware of how much time is on the shot clock. You could certainly point to Scott Brooks playing a factor in that in terms of needing to alert your team on those game situations. But it has been frustrating. And not only that, I mean, the Thunder have built some leads early on in these games, and they just have not been able to have that killer instinct and really put games away. I mean, that's also been a big difference factor. You know, sometimes you can't be content with just being up by 17. You got to keep adding to that lead because Miami certainly has a lot of firepower that they can trim a deficit in the snap of a finger. And, you know, the way that they have performed in the fourth quarter, Miami, has certainly given them an opportunity to go up 3-1. I still think that this series is going to go back to Oklahoma City. I'm not sold that the Thunder is going to be able to win three straight, but I think they'll get this game back to OKC. And, you know, whether or not they can force a game seven really will depend on how many breaks go their way.
And it's funny, you know, you mentioned experience, and this kind of cuts across all sports. In terms of the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, a lot of times I feel the experience argument is overrated. I don't buy it. If a team's good, it's good. They've played together for 82 games, or in the NBA, in this case, 66 games this year with the lockout. To me, that's enough experience for these guys to be able to play together and play well in the playoffs, especially after going through three rounds to get to the NBA Finals. But I happen to agree with you. I mean, we're seeing the Thunder make mistakes that we haven't seen them make in other rounds this year. I mean, if they were playing as well as they did against the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals, I think they'd be up 3-1 right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the key with them is, I know we point to the late game situations, but, you know, has really anyone on Oklahoma City to you stood out defensively that
no.
can really commit himself to guarding LeBron James and limiting his opportunities? I mean, I think that's been a big issue. They have put Durant on him, but he's gotten into foul trouble. They switched Harden, but everyone who's defended him has gotten into foul trouble so quickly that they can't even have one guy that they're confident enough that could stay with him throughout the course of even a quarter to maybe limit his production. That's been another issue. I mean, James is getting plenty of points in the paint because he's been very aggressive. Kevin Durant, on the other hand, who is also an aggressive player overall, has not matched that intensity, and that's why they had to lean on Russell Westbrook all throughout the fourth quarter of the last game. They need somebody else to balance things out, and if that takes Kevin Durant, you know, turning a switch on and saying, you know what, I'm not going to settle for threes. I'm going to take the ball hard to the hoop, and I'm going to try to get somebody on Miami in foul trouble. They've got to counter that attack, and they have not done that. They have not matched the aggressiveness and the intensity of Miami. And that's something that, you know, maybe can't always be taught. You need to have the inner drive to show that.
And James Harden has done nothing. He hasn't helped out Westbrook or Durant at all. Wow, Lance and I are really on the same page in this series. We even talked about it all. It's actually kind of scary a little bit. Lance, we appreciate the time as always, my friend.
Well, this is the third time I'm saying goodbye to you on this show.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, you didn't say goodbye the last two times. You just hung up on me like a jerk.
That's true. So this is the first formal way of saying goodbye.
All right, now you can actually hang up because we're going to bring the phone pot down so it's not going to sound bad on the radio, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Lance. That's Lance Meadow. Lance will be back co-hosting the show a couple times a week come the regular season. Always a lot of fun. Love talking to Lance, college buddy. I always have a good time with him. On Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, presented by Andrew Mark on Giants.com and, of course, on your Giants mobile app. Make sure you download that BlackBerry app, rolled iTunes, and, of course, your Play Store if you happen to have an Android phone. There you go. Great show, everybody. Tomorrow we will be off. Next week we'll be back. 5 days of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good old Giants sports talk right here on Giants.com. Should be a lot of fun. All right, everybody. We'll see you then. Talk to you later.